Hi, this is David. Over the years, I've started a number of businesses, like this podcast. Some have succeeded and others have failed. But the common experience has been feeling rather alone at the start and getting overwhelmed by all the things you have to do, all the different hats you have to wear. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out but simplifies everything can be a real game changer. And for millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. With Shopify's help, you can launch a beautiful online store fast. It's like having your own design studio, with hundreds of templates that are easily modified to match your brand's unique vibe. Shopify is also packed with helpful AI tools to accelerate content creation. You'll be able to quickly write product descriptions, page headlines, while also enhancing product photography. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from The Will to Be Well by Charles Brody Patterson, published in 1906. To live naturally in any age means to adjust yourself naturally to your environment and to the requirements of your being. When we live naturally, we live harmoniously. Unnaturalness in any degree creates discord. But God lives in every life, lives fully, unfailingly, despite apparent setbacks. Nothing can really separate us from God, and by God I mean the great universal life that is in us, through us, and above us. The universal love that floods our being whenever we are open to it. We are living in a world where a constant readjustment is required. The demands of today are inadequate for tomorrow. It is through meeting new difficulties that we develop new powers, through overcoming that we grow strong. It is only through the facing and fighting of perplexities and troubles that we come to know life as it really is, that we truly learn the lessons of life. Each encounter awakens fresh powers of adjustment or resistance, for even resistance has its place at certain times. Everything indeed has its place, the so-called evil, the shadows as well as the good, and the light. There are times when effort, real struggle, is required, and other times when we find genuine good in giving ourselves up to the current. There is a time, too, for serious consideration of the vital things of life, a time to ask ourselves honestly if we are in a right relationship with things and people, with our daily environment. This adjustment to things and people is the true religion of life. Harmonious adjustment is indeed all there is in life. We are so hedged about with forms and conventions and traditions that we seldom realize this. Religion to many people means something at least a little above the level of everyday life, if not quite outside of it. Few as yet, it seems, understand that the simple, natural, harmonious living of one's life, alone constitutes the religion of life. The balanced life, the life free from strain or tension, is the harmonious spiritual life. Even the straining after an ideal of action is erroneous, injurious. Straining after an ideal brings about distorted, inharmonious conditions. We may attain our goal, but it will be at the loss of some vital good. Right living is natural. Nothing is really required of us that we are not equal to. If we are truly not equal to any test or crisis, we may be sure we are striving after impossible things, that we have set for ourselves an unnatural standard. Trust to nature. Trust fearlessly, honestly. Follow her leadings as does the little child the promptings of its heart. We allow too much strain and struggle to creep into our aspirations, our yearnings after growth. Struggle has its place, but it does not mark the better way. Let your unfoldment be as that of the lilies of the field, beautiful because natural. There is but one unerring test of naturalness, of right living. That is harmony on every plane. If we are healthful, hopeful, and happy, we may be sure we are living in accord with the laws of our being. If we are not, there is something wrong. Remember that all things have their place, pain and battle, weaknesses, and even missteps. We learn only by the great law of contradictions. We learn what strength is through our own weakness. But weakness is not an actual or final condition. We were all weak at one time. We are all weak now in comparison with someone or something else. It is only through temptations and their overcoming that we know the better way, that we learn sympathy and gentleness towards others on the same road. We are too apt to approve or condemn both ourselves and others in our thoughts. Cast those thoughts aside. At heart, we are all the same, all one. If we are honest with ourselves, we cannot long misunderstand or criticize or stand aloof from others if we but follow our better, deeper feelings. It is on the plane of feeling that we first realize our oneness with everyone, and that wide, true sympathy comes. Our intellectual ideas always differ. Knowledge must always be partial in the nature of things, for there is no absolute knowledge. But through feeling we touch the deep underlying inspirations that come from the source of all life. Feeling is the true dynamic of life. Thought and action are only the means of expression for feeling. Even the so-called materialistic scientists are coming to recognize this. Long before there was a brain cell in existence, there was the capacity to feel. It was this capacity that developed the brain itself. The mind of each of us is the outgrowth of what we have felt. There is forever something within us crying for completion, the kingdom of heaven within us, demanding outward expression. But the kingdom of heaven will never arrive on earth except as we bring it on earth. It appears from the voicing of our inmost desire, through the effort to express what we feel, to express that deep, overwhelming, inexplicable feeling that wells and surges through our being. If we deny expression to our feeling, deny its recognition and realization, we cut off the supply, stop the current, and dry up the sources of our own life. Whatever we have, we must use, or we lose it. This is the law of life. This is the natural way. This is the way of right living and noble character. Love and service are all there is of life. To have, we must give. Give as the wind and the sun. Give continually, unquestioningly. Give ourselves. Not after due consideration and thought as to what is judicious, what is in accordance with worldly wisdom, but give as our feeling prompts. Sympathy, bread, life itself if need be, if the need demands. We should take a larger, deeper view of life. There are few who would refuse a near relative assistance. But in reality, all living or who have ever lived are our near relatives. Any need that comes into touch with you has equal demand upon you. Some, it is true, we can help better than others because they are on our plane of development. But in reality, it is not our concern how our giving is received. Just give. Give to those that asketh thee. If our own development is great, we are thereby enabled to more deeply and truly understand others. Only the one who has lived can understand. Only the one who loves knows. Because of our own needs and desires, either of today or yesterday, we can give a large sympathy to others and better supply their needs. We all want to live more largely. We all want to aim more at the great things of life and less on the unessential and superficial things. There can be no forgiveness for us until we have forgiven. We determine our own places. We really determine every detail of our own lives. There is no power outside of us, compelling us, shaping our lives, ordering our ways. It is for us to decide now, today, whether we will live natural lives, noble lives, or false and artificial lives. It is not enough that we live in accordance with the laws that we ourselves, or those who came before us, have made. We call these laws, but they are not of necessity anything of the sort. The only laws are the laws of God written in the soul. The soul of each of us, if we would but interpret them honestly, naturally, justly. All seeming wrong or evil is only on the surface. All is pure among the basic things of life. It is only because our eyes are fixed upon the changing surface of things that we grow discouraged and distressed. We're overwhelmed with the so-called evils of life. If we would look deeper, we could see more clearly. We could distinguish the real from the unreal, the fleeting from that which abides. Whatever we desire, we are to believe that we have it, not that we are going to have it tomorrow or some other time, but that we have it now. And we do have it. This is the law. If we want to love, we must give love. If we want harmony, we must give harmony. There is a constant exhalation, so to speak, going from every life. Despite our words, even despite our actions, we are revealing our true selves. Imprinting our inmost aspirations or shortcomings on the subtle atmosphere about us, on the sensitive consciousness of those we come into contact with. We can become anything we desire, and we of necessity become one with everything we love. This is the only way we can ever know the universal oneness that means eternal life. The natural life is the free life. Only truth can make us free. There is no standard of truth outside of ourselves. There is no book or preacher to decide truth for us. The truth that comes to the soul of you is the truth for you. But someone may say, shall we allow mere feeling to guide us? Perhaps if we follow truth as we feel it to be, without reference to the opinions of others, it may lead us into dark paths. The final test of any course of action is the harmony it produces in the life. When I use the term feeling, I do not mean fleeting impressions or momentary impulses that disturb the surface of our lives. I mean the innermost upwellings of the soul, the aspirations that come from the very depths of our being. For it is only by this that the kingdom of God will come on earth for you.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.